You know what? I think I'm gonna preach from here this morning. Y'all see me? Hey. What a beautiful cross, by the way, huh? Dawn over here made this. I think in half an hour. I said, hey, Dawn, can you build me a cross? He was like, already done it. So if you need a 12-foot cross, he'll build you one. If you need one. But no, thank you, Dawn, for that. It's a beautiful piece. So I'm going to sit here as well. Oh, we're going to pray for the kids. I'm going to do that. And you're all looking lovely today. We're all looking very smart for Easter Sunday. The Peas boys look like they're going to court. You're looking great. Looking really good. And some other people around as well. Although Logan just looks like he got out somewhere. But, you know, it's all good. Anyway, right, I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, this celebration. And we thank you for the children, for the blessings that they are upon our lives. And we pray at this moment you just bless them and that they have a real just good connection with you this morning. Thank you for the teachers. You just bless them and speak through them. Father God, we ask that these children just grow in a powerful way in your name, Jesus. And as we just look at your word now, Father God, we ask that you just bless us. You use me despite my many weaknesses. And this be all about you for your glory. Amen. Amen. We all can recount the Easter service. It's one of those things, it's a story. It's one of those difficulties as a preacher that Christmas and Easter pretty much everyone knows. And so it's kind of difficult to then, okay, how do I think of something new? How do I think of something different that you could go away with? And it's kind of difficult at times. And in all honesty, the truth is the truth. And sometimes we just need reminded of the truth, how to apply that into our lives. And so this morning, I'm not going to use one of the gospel accounts. Maddie read one of those this morning. I'm going to use the account that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at it a little bit, talk about it, look at it, talk a little bit more. It's 58 verses, so we're not going to go through the whole thing, so you're okay, you'll get to your Easter dinner, but we're going to take a bit and talk a bit. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is what we're going to look at. And it starts, I believe it'll be on the back there, so apologies for those that don't see it through the cross, but if you brought your Bible, you're good to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, this is what Paul writes. Let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it now. It is this good news that saves you. If you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important, and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins. Just as the scripture said, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers. At one time, most of them are still alive today, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. He starts off here by reminding these believers. This is what happened. This is why we gather together and call ourselves the church. This is what you are professing to believe, that Christ died and he rose again. This simple truth that the reality is, pretty much all of us here, hopefully all of us here, could tell our story. We could very easily tell a story of Christmas and very easily tell a story of Easter. Now, just to show how easy it is to recall that story, 3 years ago, I filmed Maddie as a three-year-old. And I asked her, Maddie, what is Easter? And I put it on Facebook, and my Facebook feed reminded me of that this week, so I thought I'd put it on here, and it's only 30 seconds, but just to show, even at the simplest form, what Easter is. Hi, Maddie.
Hi.
Okay. Why do we celebrate Easter?
Because Jesus gets die.
Jesus dies, yes. Why does Jesus die?
Because God loves us.
Because God loves us, yeah. What did Jesus die on?
On the cross.
Yeah! And what happened on Easter Sunday? This is a tough one.
He gets...
Yeah, he gets...
Alive.
He gets alive! Woo! Fantastic. Hi, Maddie.
Hiyo. We don't need it twice. Now, just to prove that, not all three-year-olds did. Do get it, I guess, or say it. I asked Zeph the same question this morning. I thought, oh, I'll film it and have Zeph saying it. And I was like, hey, Zeph, what's Easter? Easter. And I was like, Easter? I was like, oh. Never mind. I got one child who gets this. That's all right. That's not too bad. But we can recall this story, and Paul's just reminding them, hey, you're calling yourself Christians? This is why. And we have people who witnessed this. This is a true fact that over 500 people witnessed Christ alive again. This is why we're gathering together. And then he goes on, we're going to jump from verse 12. He says, okay, so you get it, but in verse 12 he says, but tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. See, these believers were editing the truth. These so-called believers are saying, well, actually, I don't grasp this resurrection bit. It doesn't make sense to me, so I'm just going to cut it out. You see, there's a danger when we are professing and saying, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christ follower. I believe in the Word, but then we edit some bits out, that we change it. Or if we don't grasp it, we kind of go, well, maybe that's not as relevant. It's like how we read some of the Old Testament. You know, you read about Jonah, and some people are like, ah, maybe it's just poetic. Or you look at creation, and you go, really? Creation, 7 days? I think maybe it's not quite days and 24 hours. Maybe it's a 7 days equals 1,000 years a day. You know, we start almost making excuses for God. You go, oh, maybe he didn't mean that. Or maybe the Daniel in the lion's den, again, was a nice poetic story. There's a danger when we start editing out what our minds maybe can't take, because then we bring that into the New Testament. And we go, walking on water? Well, maybe it was a little icy. Or, you know, raising the dead? Maybe they're just asleep. You see, there's a danger when we start editing it. When we start going, actually, I can't compute this, so maybe it didn't quite happen like that. And Paul jumps on it. He jumps on it saying, if you're going to accept this, you accept the truth. You don't edit it out, because it all links together. If you're saying there's no resurrection of the dead, then there can't be a resurrection of Christ. And then really, where are we? Well, we got to take the whole picture. We got to take it all as truth or not truth. And Paul's saying, you can't just start editing this. That's when we get into dangerous positions. Verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of all the great harvest of all who've died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. It's that whole picture. When we go back to the editing, if we just celebrate Easter and we just celebrate Christmas, we're editing. We've been given new life to live today. Yes, we're still in the fallen world. Yes, there's still pain and suffering. Turn the news on, you'll find out that. Yes, there are Christians being persecuted, murdered all over the world for their faith. But we have life because of Christ. We have this hope that we come and celebrate today to say because of that victory, because of him beating death, our final breath is not the end of the story because of him. That's why we have this hope. That's why we have this victory. That's why we get excited. That's why we have so much joy. It's because we have life in Christ because of him. Verse 33. And this is where he gets to some kind of juicy, meaty stuff. He says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, those people who are twisting it and editing out. For bad company corrupts good character. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't know God at all. You know the Easter story. A 3-year-old can tell that story. But the question we got to ask ourselves is it real? Is this real, is what Paul's saying. Do we accept that we are not a fluke? Do we accept that there is a God who is a creator? That we're not here out of a random act? Do we believe that yes, we mess up, but because of God's love and delight in each and every single one of us here, that whilst we were still sinning, he sent his own son onto this earth to love, to be compassionate, to be forgiving, to be a healer, to be a friend, to be justice, to be the way, to then be brutally murdered, yet whilst not sinning, by being pure and perfect, he got brutally murdered. He became that sacrifice that we no longer have to be slaughtering lambs. We can just accept by faith that God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for one and everyone, that we'll have life everlasting. Is that real? Is the question we have to ask ourselves. And if in your heart and your mind you go, yeah, that is real, then Paul says, stop sinning. Stop messing about. And this is the question and the statement I was saying to myself all week as I'm reading this, going, what in my life am I still messing about? I mean, if this is true, that we are saying there is a God that has given us victory and life in him and is with us today, and that we have life everlasting in paradise, as Christ says to the thief on the cross. If we have that waiting, that's huge. That can't just be a once a year, yay, or twice a year, yay. That impacts my life. It has to. And so Paul says, if this is real, then stop messing about. Take it as real. Bring it out of just Easter Sunday. Bring it into your life. Bring it into each moment. This is truth, and so I'm going to live it as truth. And I just looked at myself as I was just preparing this. I'm going, stop messing about, Johnny. If this is real, that is massive. Then we have to look at our lives and go, am I giving God glory in every aspect? Am I honoring him with my body, my life, my mind, my talk, my being with other people, my desires, my attitudes? Not just when I'm being seen, but also when I'm alone, am I giving him glory? If this is real, then let's stop that sinning. Let's stop that messing about and take it as real. live it as real. We enjoy Christmas because of the joy, the hope. We enjoy Easter because of the life and the victory. In a few weeks, we'll enjoy Pentecost because that's the church's birthday. That's when God sent Himself, the Holy Spirit, to be in us, to dwell in us. So it's not just on special occasions that we can live this out every day as truth. We read in Romans 8, verse 9. It says, but you're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. Because you have been made right with God, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give you life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. We're talking about power. We're talking about the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that we're here to celebrate is living in each and every one of us. Do we allow that? Do we allow that just to manifest? Do we allow that actually to take the lead? If this is real, then we gotta own this. This is huge. I mean, think of the day that we'll be when we're, after passing from here and in this life, when we're with Christ, and we look back, if we will look back, I'm pretty certain we'll go, do you know what? I am so thankful I took that serious. I am so thankful that I saw this as truth. I am so thankful that I made that decision to say this is real. Not just a tradition, not just a good story, but this is real. And I made it real in my life. I'm pretty certain we'll be thankful for that. That we can have Christ in us today. To give us that strength. To give us that wisdom. To give you that peace when you're going to work tomorrow and you're anxious, or at school, or back home. To know that you are not alone, that you have a God that beat death, sent His Son on the cross to beat death for you, is living in you. You have the power of God in you. Is it real? That's the question we have to leave with. For you as an individual, is that real? You may have spent some time in your life that you've been editing out some truth. Maybe you felt you've drifted. Maybe you feel that you've heard other people talk and church maybe wasn't relevant in the past, or maybe even the Bible wasn't relevant to you, and you started editing. You started cutting bits out and you just kept cutting. You just kept editing. Kept taking things away until you're pretty much empty. Maybe this is the day. And what a great day. That you can say, actually, no, this is real. In my heart, yeah, this is true. Maybe this is the day that I should say, I'm sorry, Lord, for drifting or for wandering or for editing or however you want to put it. Lord, this is a day I want to mark as a celebration that I'm going to take this as truth and real, and I'm going to run with it. I'm going to live with it. I'm going to take this home in my life. I'm going to take this home to my family. I'm going to take this home when I'm working. I'm going to take this home in my private time. This is real. And I want to live for this. And I've got God in me giving me that strength, giving me that wisdom and guidance and assurance that we are not alone. We can be in victory. We can celebrate. Because this story is still relevant, because this is a story we experience every day. And so we should celebrate. We don't worship the wood as much as it's beautiful. We worship the one who who was on the cross. We worship the one who's paid it all for us. That's worth celebrating. Let's just pray. And as we pray, you know where you are with the story, with the truth, with God. Let's make today a day that's more than just a tradition. And a day where we remember and give thanks and celebrate that this cross is empty because he beat death for us. Let's make this day a day that we remember and just take on. Maybe you've been in that place of editing. Maybe you've just still see it as a tradition. Let's pray that that moves far beyond our tradition, because this is life changing. I'm going to pray that this story doesn't just stay a secret in our homes, that this story is proclaimed in our lives, in our mouths, in the way we just want to live our lives. You know, there's a reason why some people edit and cut this out of their lives. It's because maybe they've been seeing people proclaiming Christ in their lives, but maybe not been witnessing it. Our prayer and desire be, Lord, let me be a witness to this as truth and as real. That goes far beyond a Sunday morning. Help us be a church that reflects. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We thank you. We thank you for the victory. We thank you for the life and the hope and the joy that we celebrate. We thank you for the different seasons that we celebrate. We thank you for your coming to this world at Christmas, and we thank you for that. Coming into this broken world, and we thank you for the victory that we celebrate today. But Lord God, help us take all of you. Help us just to receive all of you, Jesus. Help us to recall this as truth and real in our lives, not just once a week or twice a week, but every moment of our lives. Father God, search in us anything that offends you, anything that is not of you. Father God, I pray, just lift it to you, Jesus. I pray that in my own life, I pray that in my family's life, I pray that in us as a church, that if there's anything that is not of you, that is not, it doesn't continue. That we be people that just wanting to reflect your glory. Reflect the victory that we have in you today. Jesus, that these words be true, that if this is real, let's stop messing up. Let's stop sinning. Let's just live for you. You are holy, so let's be holy. Father God. For those of us maybe who've came because it's that tradition, and we thank you for them. For those who maybe in their own lives have just seen themselves, maybe just cut things out, wipe away things. Jesus, I pray this be a moment as the prodigal son runs to his father, this be a day that we mark down as a great day of running back into your arms. Jesus, knowing that you are here, that we have victory in you, that we can experience you every day in our lives. Holy God, we ask that. Jesus, we ask that. We be a humble people, ready to be open to receive, ready to be open to go, and just make you known, make you famous, Jesus. To be loving, compassionate, forgiving. Father God, help us be that people. Help us walk in the light of the resurrection, in the victory that we have in you, Jesus. It's only because of you. It's because of you that we do live, Jesus. And we praise you. Amen.
Because he lives.